Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. Especially, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So I heard someone talking about you. What's that bring to mind? You've experienced that, haven't you? Someone was talking about you and you found out about it. Normally it's not a pleasant thing. Let me share with you an incident. This happened only a couple months ago. So I got a text, and it was intended for someone else, and it was talking about me. And actually was bragging on me. Yeah, that doesn't always happen, does it? Saying some very nice things. And then just a moment after, I got another text that said, sorry, that was not intended for you. Oh, wait a minute, but that was really nice. Made my whole day a wonderful experience. Okay, so I heard someone talking about you. And actually, it was a text. And actually, it was John 17. And it was Jesus talking about you with his Father. And it was fantastic. He said wonderful things. And by the way, there's a verse about this, and it goes like this. He ever lives to make intercession. That's Jesus talking with his Father about you, making intercession. Jesus prays for us. The longer quote of that text is, it's in Hebrews chapter 7, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus ascended into heaven, continually makes intercession for us. It's an intimate conversation between him and his Father. He prays for you. And in case you might be thinking, well, that's just one verse, here's another in Romans chapter 8. Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. And we need to know this, because we need for Jesus to have our backs, don't we? And in this text, we are continuing that theme of the eternal name, the one we ran through all of Lent with, the eternal name, because John 17 has variations of the I am. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I want them to be where I am, to see my glory. So the prayer is a prayer for you, and it is, well, the best of prayer is when it is an intimate conversation. And so this is an intimate conversation within the Trinity. And the disciples are standing by the side and getting to listen in. This is part of the great plan of salvation, which, dipping into the Apostle Paul once again, it began as a secret and hidden wisdom of God before the foundation of the world. That's how long the praying for you has been going on. And then Paul says, for our glory. A wisdom of God hidden before the foundation of the world for our glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm not telling you the verse, so you have to read the whole chapter, right? Okay. To be prayed for has an impact, especially when it is Jesus who is praying for you. So here comes the impact. Yes, Jesus would come. Yes, he would be born. Yes, he would face trials and suffering in the cross for you. Yes, he would lay down his life for you and for your forgiveness. Yes, he is risen for you. Yes, he ascended for you. And yes, he will come again for you. And throughout that whole path, from beginning to end, Jesus is praying for you. John chapter 17 happens to be the longest prayer we have written out that is a prayer of Jesus. And the prayers of Jesus come together in the prayers of the cross. And the reason for that is because we needed him to bring our needs to the cross. So John 17, done in the hours before Jesus headed to the cross, it fits in with Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this good shepherd prays for us. And we need that. The disciples needed to hear Jesus praying for them and talking intimately with God the Father, because there would be the time from the cross to the empty tomb when their faith would be tested terribly. They needed the prayer of the Good Shepherd to hold them through and keep them until the time when they could see him and say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But the knowledge, this knowledge that God is tending to us, that Christ is interceding for us, that within the Trinity there is this intimate conversation for our blessing, the knowledge of that is part of what launches Paul into his great passage on who will separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor powers nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we talk about, as Lutherans, we talk about means of grace, and we have a means of grace theology. Means of grace is the word of God that creates and strengthens faith. Means of grace is the water joined with the word in baptism. Means of grace is what we will receive later in this service. The body and blood of Jesus put together with his words and his promise. Now when the means of grace things, the word of God in this instance, when it is brought together into prayer, and that prayer is from the lips of Jesus, that is a sweet, sweet thing. And Jesus does that. And when you read the prayers of Jesus, you find promise after promise after promise. Here's some others. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know how that calls to our hearts. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you also may be. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And now bringing those words of grace and mercy and promise into prayers. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name you have given me. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And in that most intimate of conversations, there within the Trinity, between the persons of the triune God, you are on the lips of Jesus. And he surrounds you with the things of grace, the word of God, the prayers that come out of his lips. And he does so to hold you and keep you and bring you into eternal glory. More deeply, if there is a more deeply, Jesus himself, the person, is the means of grace. And we are joined to him, and he joins himself to us, and by his word, Jesus draws us into the things of God, where God shares his kingdom, his life, his joy, and his heaven with us. And we are carried along as Jesus goes to the cross so that his death is our death. His tomb is our tomb. His resurrection is our resurrection. His Easter is our Easter. We can continue this. His heaven is our heaven. His eternal blessings are our eternal blessings. He is the one who brings all the gifts of God to us in his own flesh. And he prays that we would be set apart by God and called his own and sanctified and clothed in his own holiness. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, says the one who is the truth and the way and the life. So as you leave here this morning, understand this. Jesus prays for you. And it is not just occasionally, every day, every hour, every moment, Jesus prays for you. He does so because he truly loves you. And he wants you with him in his kingdom, in his blessings for all eternity. And that is the eternal word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.